to you guys. You excited? Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for being a part of this. You know, whether you just kind of just found out about it, or maybe you've talked to some other people that have been a part of it before. Maybe somebody drug you here. Maybe somebody tranquilized you and drug you here. I don't know. But either way, no matter how you got here, you're going to love it. It's going to be an incredible, incredible experience over the next 5 weeks, and then ends with an incredible retreat that you're going to hear a little bit more about in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be awesome. Hey, I have three kids. My oldest is Natalie. She's 16 years old. A lot of you that know me, you've heard me talk about this, but she is a swimmer. She's been swimming for about 6 years now, ever since we moved to Lufkin. And she is a swimmer at Lufkin High School. She also swims with a team here in town called Ambush. And she is getting ready to swim at districts on Tuesday. This is like the prime time of her high school season. And let me tell you something. She swims sometimes twice a day. She swims many mornings, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I get up at 4:15 in the morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What is wrong with me? And I go in there, and I shake her, and I wake her up, and because I got to get her up. And she gets up, and she has to be at the pool by 5:30 in the morning. And she swims for 2 hours in the morning, and then in the evening, she swims from 4 to 6. And then on Tuesdays, Thursdays, she swims just from 4 to 6, and we sleep in, right, till about 5 or 6. And so, and we love Tuesday, Thursdays. And there's just times my daughter, as much as she loves to swim, as good as she is at it, there's just times she doesn't want to go. And there's days when Dad doesn't want to get up at 4:15. I want to take the phone and throw it across the room when the alarm clock goes off. But I tell her all the time, hey, do you love the promise of being district champ again next week? You know, going to regionals, going to state. She's like, yeah. And how did it feel last year when you got first place at districts and was second place at regionals? The payoff in that was pretty cool, wasn't it? To be able to say, wow, I did really, really, really well, or get a personal best time in some of her different heats that she does. She's like, yeah, it feels pretty good. I'm like, do you still love it? She's like, yeah. And I was like, then you have to embrace the process in the middle. The promise of it is pretty cool. When the season starts, she thinks, this is the year I'm going to break the record. She's got her mindset on breaking the Lufkin High School record in some of the events that she swims. And the promise of that's pretty cool. And when she does it, I believe she's going to do it. She's a sophomore. The payoff's going to be pretty cool. But there's that process in the middle, right? And the process in the middle is 4:15 in the morning and being dropped off at 5:30 in the morning when it's 28 degrees, right? And the pool is not as warm as you think it is. It's swimming up to 8 to 10,000 yards a day when she swims both practices during the day, right? There's that process, but that process helps her get to the payoff. Why am I saying all this? I'm saying this because Encounter has an incredible promise. Ultimately, it's not Encounter's promise, it's God's promise, right? For all of us, that he wants us to live. Our lives aren't perfect. None of us are perfect. And our lives are not going to be free of challenges and circumstances and tough times. We all know that, right? But the promise he does have is that we can live in freedom, right? That we can live life in freedom, and we can live life abundantly, right? He wants life for us to be abundant, and all that he has for us, the word says, right? All right, so there's that promise, and the payoff is heaven one day, right? The payoff is finding freedom and living in liberty and in freedom. I don't know what brought you here, but I just want to encourage you guys to what? To embrace the process, okay? And so you're going to get out of Encounter over the next 5 weeks what you put into it, okay? And the enemy is going to do everything he can. In fact, he may have even already started little seeds of doubt in your mind this afternoon, or on your drive here, or as you sat down at a table with a bunch of people you don't know, and you're like, I don't know about this. I don't know how I want to do this for the next 5 weeks. There's all these seeds of doubt, but if you'll just focus in, and you'll embrace the process of this, and you'll put in everything you can to this process over the next 5 weeks, I guarantee you, you will be a different person 5 weeks from now. You will experience some things next week, the week after, during the week on a Tuesday or a Thursday, as you begin to apply some of the teachings and the things that we hear about from all the great communicators that are going to speak to you every single week. And the retreat is incredible, right? And so that's my challenge to you guys as you start this process, is just embrace the process, right? Because there's a great promise, there's a great payoff, but it's that process where God begins to just do some work in all of us. And listen, as a pastor, I have sat in this room at a table as a student where I said, hey, I don't want to lead, I don't want to talk, I don't want to volunteer, I want to be a student, and I learned a lot. and God did a lot in my life. And then I've been in here as a volunteer. I've been able to speak and stuff. And every time I sit through this process, God does something. He puts his finger on something, and sometimes it's a little bit uncomfortable. But, man, when I allow the Lord to do a work, it transforms me. It makes me more into who he has called me to be, and he's going to do the same for you. As guys, ladies, all of you guys, it's going to be incredible. So are you ready to embrace the process? Amen. So do one thing for me. I'm going to pray over you. I want you to just put your hands up like this. And if you've been with me before, the team probably has heard me say this many times. Give all that he asks, but take all that he promises. If you'll just have that heart each and every day, each and every step of this process, to say, you know what, God, it's going to be hard at times. It's going to be difficult at times, right? But if I just give all that you ask, the cool thing is in return I get to take all that he promises through this process. Amen? So let's pray that tonight, and then I'm going to hand it over. God, we love you, and we thank you for every person that's in this room. And God, we thank you that your promises are yes and amen. We thank you that your promises, the blessings that you have for us, are so many. God, there's so many incredible things that you have for us. And God, there's a payoff at the end of this process. There's a payoff when we get to be in your presence in heaven one day. There's a process when you keep working and building in us, helping us to become the people you've called us to be and developing the God-given potential within us. But God, there's a process in the middle. And so, God, I pray that we would just be palms up, ready to embrace this process. And God, at the end of it, Lord, that we, again, would just be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Lord God. God, that we would be different people, that we would be different spouses, that we'd be different men and women of God than we came in here tonight, Lord. So, God, do a work in all of us. We love you. We thank you for this, Lord God, a church that's not perfect, God, by any means, God, but I love how intentional our pastor is and the vision that you've given us, God, and the next steps that we take. Thank you for the intentionality of encounter. And, God, I pray that we would just be ready to receive what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, let me introduce you to one of my best friends, one of my buddies. He is our Next Steps director at the Lufkin campus. Everybody give it up for Justin Biscuit Lindsay. Love this guy. And he leads this incredible team that's going to serve you guys over the next 5 to 6 weeks. And I know tonight's going to be awesome. Y'all have a great time.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Stephen. Basically what I am is I am Pastor Stephen's assistant. Yes. That's a joke. I would make the worst assistant known to man, okay? I can't keep my socks in order. So, like he said, my name's Justin, and I want to welcome you to something that's very special to me, all right? I think this is, you know, I'm terrible with time frames. I keep trying to remind myself how long I've been married. And so I think it's 15 years this summer, so that means I need to do something special, right, ladies? Yeah. It's 15, right? Okay. Liz, where are you at? Would you remind me of that, Liz Henson? Okay. All right. Liz Henson, she reminds me of everything I do in my life. I think this is the fifth year we've done Encounter. This is the start of the end of the fourth year, fifth year, something like that. And for some crazy reason, I actually know why, God chose me when this thing started to sit on the fireplace of an individual's house when they begin this idea. I've never missed a class. I've never missed a session. I've never missed a retreat. And it has completely transformed every area of my life, and it's still transforming my life. One of the things I want to go ahead and set the precursor to is I'm a very transparent person. You're going to learn a lot of things about me in here that you may not want to know, but that's okay. Hopefully, it doesn't run you off, and hopefully, it makes an impact when you begin. If I can get you to see what God did in my life, if you could truly take a glimpse into who I used to be and where I've come from and what God's brought me through, you're going to say, okay, God, I know you can do it for me. Because if you can put a microphone in that boy's hand, because he truly is the most unlikely suspect, if you can use that joker and a donkey, because he used a donkey in the Bible, and I'm probably worse than that, you're going to be like, there's no telling what I can do, right? Did you say amen that loud, Ben? I heard you. But in that, this class is so special to me because I've seen people's lives transformed from it, all right? If Encounter has transformed and made an impact in your life, I just pray you raise your hand. Look across the room, all right? This isn't something that we drummed up, all right? This is something that God gave us as a gift, and he said, change our people. He says, I have a promise, and that promise is victory and hope. And I shared this morning this evening with our team. In Psalms 91 and verse 4, this is basically what it says. It says, God says, my faithful promise. Hear this encounter. He says, my faithful promise, he says, is your protection and your armor. Well, what does that mean? How does that apply to this? Number one, God's faithful promise, just like Pastor Stephen said, his promises are yes and amen. And the word amen means so be it. It means it's done. It means it's accomplished. It's not something that we have to go looking for. And he says, my faithful promise is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you, all right, and has overcome the grave, so we have victory. Listen, encounter, whether you know it or not, no matter what you're struggling with, when you walked in that door tonight, you walked in with victory. The enemy may be trying to steal something from you, and he may be saying you're defeated in some areas in your life, and you temporarily may be struggling with something, but there's victory in it because that's God's promise. It's what his word says. It's not my word. And it protects us. It says it's our protection and our armor. Well, when you study Ephesians, armor is how we battle. So God says, my faithful promise will cover you, it will protect you, and it will equip you to walk this thing out in victory. Does that excite anybody in here tonight? I know it excites me because at 1:30 this morning, I'll go ahead and be transparent. I was in my bathroom floor in a fist fight with God about some things in my life. I'm talking about a dog fight. And when I got up at 5:30 this morning, I was back in the same dog fight with him. Guess what? I know his promise has equipped me and has protected me from what I'm dealing with. And I know I'm going to come out on the other side victorious because my Father, my Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, he's already won the battle for me. All I have to do is walk in it. All I've got to do is walk in truth, right? So tonight, we're going to start at ground level because we can't take another step tonight unless we know who God is. I was raised by a pastor. My brother's a pastor. I came from a long lineage of preachers and pastors, church and church and church, and I thought I knew who God was until I stood on my porch when I was 35 years old, completely broken, addicted, drunk as I could be, been up for 4 days, had done divorced my wife, left my family. I thought I knew who God was. And on that porch, and I will not use the verbiage in this church of what I told God, but I said, if you think you have my life figured out better, let's try it your way. I'm only 41, people. 41. That's 6 years. Is that right? Carry the one. Come here. I'm from Alto. We didn't really do math a lot. 6 years. God took me from the most depraved, the state of depravity in my life. I'm on staff at this church, doing the work he created me to do when I was a young man. Why? Because I finally figured out who God was. And when I figured out who God was, I realized who I was. And I realized I was an overcomer. I realized I was a gift. I realized I was precious and perfectly made, and I was a masterpiece to the Father, the one that created it all, the one that spoke it all into existence. When he got to me, he said, hang on a second. I'm going to spend just a little bit more time right here because he's that valuable to me. Because Ephesians says, he says, you are my masterpiece. You are created anew in Christ Jesus. If you're not reading the Bible, read it. It's amazing. It will turn your life upside down. He says, you're a masterpiece. You know what's beautiful about a masterpiece? There's nothing else. There's not another one like it in the world. There's not another one. There's not another Justin Lindsay in the world. And some people are saying, hey, well, praise God. There's not another Mandy Seaman in this world. Should be, because you're amazing. Nikki, there's not another one of you, baby. God said, you know what? I designed you perfectly for my kingdom. And he's got a plan for you, sister. I don't care what you're going through right now. God's got a plan for you. You hear me? Don't you quit fighting because your battle's already won. Brent, you're his masterpiece. There's not another Brent. There's not another Kelly Moon. There's not. Keith, there's not another one like you. And God says, you're mine, and I have a plan for you. So let's talk about who this God person is. Because if we don't know who he is, we won't know where we're going, right? So in your box, table host, I'd hand these out. If you need another one, let me know. If not, we'll write it in the book. There is a piece of paper at your desk, seat, wherever we're at. I do walk around a lot. I'm sorry. I'm a big boy, but I can't sit still. I'm pretty sure I have ADHD, QPD or something. RSV, OMG. I want you to be completely honest with yourself. If you're not willing to be honest with yourself and God in this class, you're going to get robbed. Because I can tell you right now who God is to me. He's kind of like a coach. Because God's got his foot in my rear right now, some things in my life that I don't want to deal with. I'm being serious. When I tell you I was fighting with him this morning, I was in a battle. And I know he's going to win, but there's, something in me. I don't know why I fight him. But that's who God is to me right now. He's kind of like a coach because he has his foot in my tail and he says, son, I'm trying to take you somewhere. Will you just hang on and listen? So I just want to take about 3 minutes, okay? Wait a second. I didn't even set my timer, my two-hour timer for this class. Three people got that. I'm not going to be up here for 2 hours, I promise. Okay. We're going to take about 3 minutes, search your heart, and who is God to you right now? Be serious with yourself. Who is God? And hey, disclaimer, you may hate him right now. You may think he's worthless right now. That's okay. Put it on the paper because he is big enough to deal with it. He's big enough to deal with exactly where you're at. So don't lie to yourself. But who is God to you right now? I want you to write it on paper and we're going to come back to it. We're all going to have the opportunity tonight. Here's a great thing about God. All right, no matter where you have him in your life, no matter your perspective on him, he's big enough to handle it. But here's the great thing is we have this saying here, it's okay to be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. God doesn't want you to stay where you're at, okay? Pastor Stephen said it, what you put into this, you'll get out of it, I promise. And so let's talk tonight about who God is. This is a very open class. That's the reason why there's an age limit on here. It's the reason why you have to be an adult to this class because if we're going through something and you say, hey, Mr. Lindsay, whatever you want to call me, Biscuit, I don't care. Just don't call me late to dinner. You can call me anything else. I don't care what you call me. If I say something that stumps you, if I say something that says, I just don't understand that, hey, let's stop and talk about it. All right? Because I want to go somewhere in this, and I'm on God's time frame, I'm on God's schedule, and I'm on God's plan. So if God's petitioning you to clear something up, throw your hand up and say, hey, can we talk about that, okay? All right. So let's jump into this. All right. So basically, I want to look at Job 42 and 5, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And it says this. Before I read this, you got to understand what's going on in Job. If you never read Job, you think you got it tough right now, go read Job. It'll change your perspective real quick. This is definitely a perspective-changing book of the Bible if you want to go read Job. Job lost everything. When I say he lost everything but his life. His family, his wife, his riches, his friends, his health. He had nothing. Absolutely nothing. God told the enemy, he said, take it all from him. He said, you can have your way with my servant. He says, but you cannot have his life. But he stole everything else from him. Listen to what Job says when the tables begin to turn and God not just completely restored Job. God doesn't just want to restore you back to where you were. God wants to restore you to something you've never experienced before, right? God wants to, his restoration plan is not like, like you see these car shows on TV and they roll in and they're rusted and banged up and they pull out and they're beautiful and sound good and shiny. That's what God wants to do. God's restoration plan is way bigger than what you can conceive in your mind. This is what Job said. He says, I had heard of you by the hearing of my ear. He said, I've heard of you before. I know I've heard you. I've experienced you. I've heard you by my ear. He says, but now my eyes see you. Everybody in here has heard of God. Everybody in here may have even talked to God. Some of you may be sitting in here tonight saying, I don't even know that I've ever received Jesus as my personal Savior. I want you to know it's okay. Because when Jesus looks at everybody in this room, all right, he cares and has love equally for everybody in this room, no matter where you're at. But that's what Job is saying. He says, I've heard of you. He says, but now I see you. I'd heard of Jesus my whole life. My dad told me two things when I was growing up. He said, son, you're going to know how to work and you're going to know Jesus. The rest of it you'll figure out. And that's what we did. I was raised by a single dad, very, very rough man. My best friend, loved him to death. Great, great man of God, but he's tough. And I heard of Jesus my whole life. But I finally seen Jesus sitting on my porch, most broken I've ever been in my entire life, crying out to God, completely inebriated from multiple things, completely out of my mind. And I experienced God in a new way right there, right where I was, because I finally did one thing. I finally surrendered. And that's what God's going to ask you to do in this class, is surrender, okay? All right? And we're going to talk about that as we go. But surrender, when you're talking about God's word, equals victory. So let's look at what an encounter with God does. Number one, this is your first fill in the blank. It'll be up here on the TV screen behind me. It says, encounters with God reveal our, with God will reveal our true identity. Our true identity. Identity is who a person is. Just like Ephesians says, you're a masterpiece. All right, your true identity is who you are. I'm an extroverted, loud, I know I'm obnoxious at times. Don't you amen that, Sonia Bonner? I know I can be obnoxious, but I also know this one, that I'll love you with everything that I have and give you every single thing that I have. That's who God made me. This is my identity. My identity is in Christ. And I finally figured out that I'm not a wretched old, the person I used to be. And so that's what encounters with God. When I encountered him on that porch, I for the first time seen that I may have some value in my life. All right? And so your identity is, it's who a person is. The definition actually is the distinguishing character or personalities of an individual. Now, I know a lot of this stuff that we're talking about, that you may have heard it, but what I want you to do is I want you to take that card, and you're going to hang on to that card, because I want God to change your perspective of who he really is in your life. We're going to look at that at the end of the process, so hang on to those. I hope he changes some of your perspective tonight about who God is. All right? But we're going to walk through who God is, who we are right now, and who we can become in all things through Christ. All right? So number two, encounters with God reveal who he is and his true identity. Who he is and his true identity. There's a scripture in Exodus, and this is what it reads. It says, the Lord descended in the clouds and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. All right, then the Lord passed in front of him. He's talking to Moses. All right, Moses is needing to experience God. He's got this huge calling on his life. All right, God's called him to do something that he can't wrap his mind around. He's like, you want me to do what? You want me to lead your people out from underneath the rule of the palace that I lived in? They all hate me. The people hated him. The Jews hated him because he was royalty. All right? But Pharaoh and them now hated him. The Egyptians hated him because he killed an Egyptian. And so God said, yeah, that's what I want you to do. And he's like, what are you telling me? He said, I can't even hardly talk. And actually, if you study the word of God, Moses rebutted him six times. Six times he went back to God and says, well, hang on a second. So God said, I'll tell you what I'll do. Maybe you just need to see who I am. And when he saw who he was, it changed everything. So this is what he says. And then the Lord, this is the Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed. This is God identifying himself. This is not Moses. This is God saying, this is who I am. God is identifying himself. All right? And if we believe the word of God, we can hang our hat on this. He says, the Lord, the name of the Lord, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, I am the Lord God. Hey, he says, I'm compassionate and gracious. He says, I'm slow to anger. He says, I'm abounding in loving kindness and truth. He says, who keeps loving kindness for thousands? Who forgives iniquities, transgressions, and sin? This is who God is. God's saying, I am compassionate. I am kind. I will hold you. I will love you. I will not give up on you. I will not leave you. I don't care how much you've done in your past. All I'm concerned is about what we can do moving forward. God don't care about your past. The enemy wants to use your past to destroy you. God wants to use your past to build you up as a foundation to spread the gospel. So as we talk about this and we talk about who God is, the enemy's going to say, yeah, but that doesn't apply to you because of all you've done. Well, that's not true. Because if we was to take a whiteboard right now and begin to write out what you've done versus what I've done, we'd, it'd probably scare you. And so don't let the enemy rob from you what God's already put behind you. Let me say that again. Don't let the enemy rob from you what God's already put behind you. Okay, God's got something for you. And as we identify who God is, we're going to begin to see who we are. So here is number one, God is light. And there's no darkness in him at all. All of these are backed by scripture. Okay, God is light and there's no darkness in him at all. There's no evil in God. Even when we read the Old Testament and God had to kill people, it was righteous killing. It was not evil. There is no darkness. There is no sin. There is no evil in our God. He is light, all right? And God is love. Always has been, always will be, all right? And some of you are in here saying, how is God love? How can you explain it? I know there's a scripture that says, oh, God is love. Well, can you explain that? Because I can also go back and look at some of the terrible things that God did. God didn't do terrible things. People did terrible things. But I can tell you, John 3:16 sums up the whole thing. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that so whoever will believe will not perish. So basically what God did, and I'm going to prove God's love right now. I've never done this in this class. If I get in trouble, that's okay. If you have kids, raise your hand. If you have a son, raise your hand. Let me find somebody. Right there, young lady, what's your name? Rachel, how old's your boy? 10? What's his name? Eli? That's a Bible name, I think. Is there Eli in the Bible? Yeah. Eli, right? All right, so let me ask you something. I've got a really good relationship with the warden in Huntsville. And if he was to call me right now and say, Rachel, if you'll give me Eli, this is what I'm going to do. Swap me Eli. I'm going to put the needle in his arm. I'm going to take his life. But listen to me. In return, I'm going to open the gates of all of these prison cells and let all these prisoners free. Would you do it? You wouldn't do that for all them people in prison? Would anybody give up their child for that? God did. Because if you don't know that you were a prisoner to sin when you were born, God says, I tell you what, I got a plan. I got a great plan. He says, I love the world so much, for God so loved the world. Listen, it doesn't say black, white, green, purple. It doesn't say rich or poor. God doesn't care what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you have. He don't care if your skin's black, white, brown. That doesn't matter to God. It says, for whosoever. If you'll believe in me, he says, I put the needle in my son's arm so you don't have to. So that you can have eternal life and all you have to do is believe. I don't know about you, but that's pretty good love. I couldn't do it. None of us in here could do it. But he could. That's the evidence of God's love in John 3:16. It shows who Jesus is and the Holy Spirit. We're not going to go into that. But that's the love of Christ, that he slung open the prison bars to all the prisoners that were willing to come and say, you know what, I believe, I'll follow, I'll serve. That's the love of Christ. That's a God that I can hang my hat on, because that's the kind of love this old wretched joker right here needs. Does anybody else need that love in here tonight? Amen. Okay, we're going somewhere with this, people. I promise. I drink a lot of water because I talk a lot. I'm sorry. All right, I'm sorry. I got to get back on. I had to figure out where we were. All right, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. The one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victories. Here's a crazy thing about our battle. Is that battle that I'm facing right now, God's already walked in front of and given me victory. I just got to be willing to walk in and receive it. What battle are you facing tonight? What battle did you walk in here and say, man, I hope this class helps me with this. I hope we can get past this. I hope I can get some clarity in this. I hope I can get some vision in this. What are you experiencing tonight? What have you experienced in your past? What are you wanting to get rid of in your future? What are the things that you don't want to have to continuously battle day in and day out? God says, I have gone before you. He says, and I'm with you. He says, I'm behind you. And in Psalms 139, it says, I'm all around you. He says, I'm in front of you, laying the pathway to victory. I'm behind you, so when you look behind you at your past, you see nothing but me. My hand's on top of your head right now because I'm daily walking with you and protecting you and battling your enemies. You just got to see me in it. You just got to trust me in it. Even when it don't look right, you just have to trust me, son. There's some things in my life that just don't look right tonight, people, and I'm having to cling on and say, all right, God, I know what your word says. I'm going to keep trusting you because there's nothing else that I can cling to, all right, that I know for a fact that won't let me down. And I know you won't somehow, some way, you won't let me down because I know you're in front of me. It says, the Lord is gracious and he is righteous. It says, our God is full of compassion. He is gracious and righteous and full of compassion. Full of compassion. That's out of Psalms 116 and 5. Everything we just talked about, from God being light, God being love, God going ahead of us to fight our battles, and that God is gracious and righteous and full of compassion, these are all biblical truths and descriptions of who God are. This is who God says he is. And when we're willing to rest in it and believe in it, we can begin to understand, and we're going to talk about that here in just a second, of who we really are. Okay? Number three, it says, encounters with God reveal who you really are and who you are not and your present identity. I want to read this scripture real quick. All right? It says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? It says, don't be deceived. It says, neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And listen here. All of those are big things. Some of y'all in here are saying, oh my goodness, that's me. I'm not going to go to heaven. Oh my gosh, I'm an adulterer. Guilty. Yeah, right here, guilty. Evildoers, guilty. Right here. This description identified every single one of us in here. But there's good news. Read the Bible. Like I said, this book's crazy good. Hey, greedy, right here. Thief, right here. Drunkard, big time. But it says, as such were some of you. That word some, that word were some, what that's saying is this, some of us, like me, I know that's not me no more. You want to know why? Not because of anything I did, because of what he did. And all I had to do was say, God, I surrender. I'm yours. I'm yours. And all that old junk, all that old evil and all that old pain and all that old hurt that I caused people and that people hurt me and the pain that I went through and the hurt that I had from the divorces of my parents and the hurt that I had from this person and the pain I caused this person because I was hurt, because hurt people hurt people. All of that, God says, that's not you no more, son. All of that was washed clean on the cross. You don't have to identify like that no more. And if some of you in here identify like that tonight, it's okay. No, we're not calling Emmanuel clean. Easy, Siri. God, you need Jesus too. It says, but you were washed, you were sanctified. The word sanctified, guys, you're set apart. God says, you're mine, you're over here. When you accept me, you're mine, you're over here. You're set apart. It says, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Every one of us at some point in our life are those things. If you have a relationship with Jesus, that's not you. It's not you, and it's not who God's called you to be. You don't have to be that anymore. And I know it's easier said than done. Believe me, I know it's easier said than done. But God's saying, because I've given you victory, let me help you walk through this. Let me help you show you the victory. All right? Let me help you walk through this valley so you can see me in it, so you can experience me in it, so you can know me more. Because if you'll know me more, you'll know that you're an overcomer. And you don't have to identify with this. This does not have to control your life. Because through Jesus Christ, it says I can accomplish things, all things through Christ who strengthens me. That does not mean that I can go run a marathon if I pray for Jesus. I ain't gonna make it. If y'all think that's what that scripture means, that ain't what that means. I promise. I can't, 2 miles maybe if something's chasing me. But it's gonna have to be big. I tell everybody every class, y'all see me run out them doors? You better get gone. We'll talk about it later because there's something big and bad behind me. We'll discuss it in the parking lot. All right? I can put that on my shirt all day long. I can tattoo it across my back. I can even do like a little training stamp right there. Philippians 4:13, right? I can do that. Guess what? That's not what that scripture means. God says if you'll cling to me, I'll walk you through anything you're going through. And there's victory on the other side of it. But he says, you got to cling to me. He says, you can accomplish all things through me. He says, if it's my will, we'll walk through it. And it is God's will for each and every one of us in here to be free. It's God's will in here for us to walk in our potential. Your God-given potential truly is our mission, and it's God's will for you to experience abundant life. Nobody in here looks at their children and say, well, I hope you live an oppressed life and that you never succeed. God doesn't do that to us. God wants above and abundant things for us. He just wants it for us the right way so it glorifies him and it doesn't damage us. Right? Okay. So this is who we are right now. It doesn't matter if you're a believer or not. If anybody in here tonight still doesn't know, it's okay. I want you to know these things about yourself. Number one, you're loved. I don't care where you are in your walk and what you're going through. When God looks at you, he says, that one there, that one's mine. I love that one. He says, you are chosen of God, holy and dearly loved. Holy and dearly loved. The word holy, when you study, it means that you're set apart from everybody else. And it means that you're called to a higher calling. Holy means that God has put something in you to be different. All right? That's what it says, and he chose you because he knew if you would ever do one thing, if you'd ever get the relationship with him, if you would ever get past your own self-will and receive his will, and you walked into what God had for you, he says, that one right there, they can be set apart, and they can make a huge, huge difference for me. And he says, they're loved. When I got through fighting God last night, Sonia asked me a while ago, she said, and I knew she was going to ask me this when I told her, because I love her so much, she tells me everything I don't want to hear, but everything I need to hear. Everybody needs that friend in their life, okay? I got one. She's pretty tough. But you know what I did when I got through wrestling with God last night? I sat on the floor, tears in my eyes, 350 pounds of a man just laid out praying. That's what I did. And all I could come back to is he kept saying, I love you. You're a little crazy at times, son, but I love you. And the fact that I'm loved by the Creator, and he could have created anything to do his work. God could have made the mountains do this. He could have made the mountains to have this unique relationship with him, but he chose me. He chose you. And I sit on that floor, and I come back and it says, I got you. I got you because you're loved, son. All right, it says, I've been buried, raised, and made alive. That's salvation, guys. It doesn't matter if you have been in ministry your whole life. It doesn't matter if tonight's your first night to make that decision. It doesn't matter if you're the Billy Graham of the world or you're the most wretched person of the world. Jesus Christ says you can be alive in me, and you are alive in me. It says, I have the right to come boldly before the throne of God to find mercy and grace. It doesn't matter if you've never prayed in your life up to this point. It doesn't matter if you've cussed God your whole life or if you've served God your whole life, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. because of what he did. And when he died on the cross and that veil split down in the presence of God, says it's 24/7 access to you guys. He says you can boldly come to me. I have to boldly go to God because that's how I operate. And when I boldly come to God, he's always there to answer. I don't like what I hear a lot of the times, but I get to boldly come to the throne of God and sit in the presence of the Creator. Listen, guys, this you don't have to wait for the end of this class for this to happen. You're in the presence of God right now. Some of y'all are listening to what I'm saying, and it's speaking directly to you. It is not because I'm a great speaker. It's not because I'm some biblical scholar, because I'm not. It's because you're experiencing the presence of God. He's saying, Paula, listen to me, baby. I created you for something special. Rachel, he's saying the same thing to you. Yesenia, same thing. Victor, Brandon, Jeremiah, Tony, Bob, all of you men. God says, boldly come to my throne. Boldly come to my throne for your family. Boldly come to my throne for your family, for your children, for your marriage, for your walk. Boldly come to my throne for your friend. Boldly come to my throne for you. And he says, and I'll meet you there. When was the last time some of y'all have boldly come to God's throne and said, I need you. I'm missing something in my life. There's a little bit of salt and pepper out of my ingredients that I can't quite figure out, God, and I need you tonight. So I'm boldly here pleading, and if you'll sit there and wait on God, he'll show up. But we have that access because we are his. And if you've never made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can boldly come to the throne tonight and secure your place in heaven and never have to worry again about whether or not you're going to bust hell wide open. You can boldly come to the throne and know that Jesus Christ will pick you up out of that muck and mire. And he says, all right, son, daughter, I got a plan for you. Come on. You can boldly come tonight. And it says, I've been saved and set apart according to God's doing. I have been saved and set apart according to God's doing. Saved and set apart. And before we go to the next part, I want to do something. I've never done this before, but I feel God is moving. If you will, bow your heads. I'm going to do this real quick. If under the sound of my voice, if you're sitting here saying, I think this man may be talking to me, and I want to know without a shadow of a doubt, before I leave tonight, that I have Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. Nobody's watching. I ask that you just raise your hand. I ask that you raise your hand if you want to know for sure. Amen. Thank you for the ones that are boldly raising your hand. Don't keep your head bowed. And the next question I want to ask is, if you're sitting here tonight and you say, God, I know that you put a calling on my life and I've drifted from you, and I want to recommit my life to your process. I want to recommit my life to what you've called me to do. I want to recommit my life to knowing you, finding freedom, God, and discovering my purpose. I just ask you, if you want to recommit your life and reengage in God, then I just pray that you raise your hand. Praise God. Hands up everywhere. I'm going to pray over you. Father, thank you for the ones, God, that made the commitment tonight as your personal Lord and Savior. God, the word says, it says that when one chooses, it says that heaven throws a party. God, heaven's throwing a party tonight because there's some that come and says, I want to know that I have Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I don't want to take another step without having the presence of God in my life. And God, I thank you for the ones that were bold enough to say, God, I need to reengage. I know you've called me to something, and I'm drifted, and that's okay. But tonight I'm making a choice to re-engage in the process, re-engage in this calling that you have in my life. In Jesus' name, thank you for your presence being here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I want y'all to stop just for a second, give a round of applause, because there were some people made a decision tonight to say, I never want I never want to have to worry again. Jesus went after the one, guys. When one comes to know Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior, the angels stop and throw a party. Amen. All right. We got that out of the way. Then number four, let me show you who you can become. Number four, encounters with God reveal who you can become. With God's help, mind you, your identity in Christ. Your identity in Christ. Who you can become and your identity in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says this, is therefore, this is why we stopped and did what we did. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. For each and every one of us in here, no matter what decision we made, the old has passed away and the new has come. And God wants to meet you where you're at tonight. God wants to do something special in your life. Tonight, tomorrow night, throughout this week, all right, you're new. We get to wake up tomorrow and all the old's behind us. When we walk in Jesus, in a relationship with Jesus, we're new. We don't have to worry about yesterday. We are new. New graces, new mercies, new opportunities, new hopes, new changes. Thank you, Lord. So this is who you can become. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Rescued. You can become rescued. Does anybody in here tonight say, you know what, I could use some rescue in some areas of my life? I know I can. I got the microphone. I'm brave enough to say, God, I want you to rescue me in some areas of my life. Redeemed and forgiven. Redeemed is, do we have any couponers in here? Anybody use coupons to go to a grocery store? We ain't got a single couponer. Huh? What? What kind of class are we in? We ain't got no coupon. We ain't got no extreme couponer. Well, look, I got some on my phone called the Flip app, and it tells me all the sales, all the meat that's on sale, because I love to cook. I love to cook meat. See? I love to cook. And so when I see a sale on, like, ribs, you better believe I'm going to go buy, you know, like you can buy two. If with a price of, you know, $20 over here, I have Whitney in the line, my 8-year-old in the line, Sonya, all my friends. Yeah, they won't have a rib. All the ribs, if you're looking for ribs, are at my house. I'll buy them all. But basically what I do is I take that coupon in there and I give it to them and I redeem my purchase. I get something back. Well, that's what Jesus did on the cross. He's our coupon. He redeemed us. He bought us back. He took something back. That's what Jesus did. We're rescued. We're redeemed. We're forgiven. We can be bold, free, and confident. We can be bold. We can be free. And we can walk in confidence. And I didn't say walk in pride. I said walk in confidence. Confidence of a new life with Jesus Christ. Pride will get you nowhere, but walking in meekness and humility and the confidence that Jesus Christ is walking with you will get you everywhere. Amen? Empowered. We're empowered. Guys, listen. When you leave this class, this process, this class tonight, after the retreat, I want you to know that you have the power. Romans 8 and 11 says that you have the power of Jesus Christ residing inside of you. I don't care if you're 4'2" or 8'12". That's even a number. You are powerful, Balake. You're powerful. I'm not talking about powerful in physical strength. You're empowered to do great things for the kingdom. You're empowered to be an overcomer. You're empowered to be a prayer warrior for someone. You're empowered to stand in the gap with intercessory prayer. You're empowered to change people's life and to reach the lost. God has empowered us through our giftings to do great things, but you're empowered to walk through tough times and overcome tragic things in your life. We are empowered. God empowers us to walk out his calling in your life. So if you're walking around defeated, I want you to know the truth that through Jesus Christ, you don't have to walk around defeated. You don't have to walk around wondering, hoping for tomorrow. You can live this life empowered through humility, because humility is power. Meekness actually means power under restraint. But God empowered us to do things that beyond the things that we think that we can do. It's amazing to see the power of someone when they get backed in the corner and they have to operate in power, right? You back a mama in the corner and you're attacking her kids, I don't care how big a boy you are. You finna see some power, son. Yeah. There we go. Amen. Somebody said, yeah. She said, come out swinging. That same power God has put in you, when the enemy backs you in a corner and says, there's no way you're going to get past this, there's no way you're going to come out of here, God put that power in us to fight through his word and through his promise, through his protection and his armor, where we can come out of the corner. We're empowered. We are healed. Anybody in here need some healing tonight? The Bible calls him Jehovah Rapha. That means God healer. He is the ultimate physician. That means God heals. He's a healer. Forever free. The ones that made the decision tonight to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are forever free. He has ripped you. It's not something that you got to say, okay, well, I got to be saved tomorrow and saved the next day. No, when you accept Jesus and you follow Christ, right, he has ripped you from the grave. And he says, you're mine forever and ever. You are mine. And you are more than a conqueror. Ladies in here tonight, some of y'all have been told that you're nothing. Some of y'all may have been told that you're worthless. Some of y'all may have been told that you never had no value. But listen, you're conquerors. You're conquerors in your life. Men, the world, the enemy has done everything that he can in his power to snatch the power and the influence of man. He has. I don't mean it bad. Look at the men in here. Look at the women in here. It's just the truth. He has robbed our men blind, because when men lead as a conqueror, when they lead their families like God intended them to lead, things change. I can't remember the exact statistic, but when there's a man in the house that leads his family to church, I think it's 92% of the time the family receives salvation. When the man's not in there, it's only 17%. I think that's pretty right. But regardless if them numbers are exact or not, it shows that when men take the position that God called them to of leading their families, raising their kids to love God and being conquerors for their wives and for their children, and I'm not talking about knocking out the boogeyman when he comes in, but I am talking about teaching them about the boogeyman that will kill, steal, and destroy your life. Because there is a boogeyman out there, guys. John 10:10 says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy everything in your life. If there's been destruction in your life, it's not from the hand of God. It's from the enemy. Now, he may paint it to make you think it's God, but it's not God. If God destroys something in your life, you need to count it joy. But the second part of that scripture says, he says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you may have what? Life. And life what? Abundantly. God calls us to an abundant life, and the enemy is destroying our families day in and day out. You can't imagine the broken families that I sit down with on a weekly basis. And the husband's left. The wife's left. The families are tore apart. And the very first thing, when you study the word, what the enemy attack? The very first thing in the garden, a family. God's trying to repair families. The enemy's doing everything he can to destroy them. Men lead as conquerors. Lead with humility and patience and kindness and gentleness and meekness. I could go on all night about that. But God has called us to so much more. If I was the enemy and I was trying to trip you up, you know the very first thing that I would do is I'd make you believe that I didn't exist. I would try to make you believe that I wasn't even there. The second thing that I would do is I would divide you. I would divide you. Because if you don't know I exist, you're not looking for me. And if I can divide you, divided numbers are less powerful. And then I would feed you every lie in the world to tell you you weren't worth it. And God saying that ain't true. Because I took a little extra time on you. And he says, when I breathe my air into your lungs, and he says, and I designed you, and I know every hair on your head, and I uniquely made your fingerprint like nobody else's, and I designed you for my kingdom. I designed you for my purpose. I designed you for my plan so that you may have life and life more abundantly, and that you can look the enemy in the face and recognize the areas that he has tried to kill, steal, and destroy. And it doesn't matter the areas that he stole from you, that he has destroyed, and that he has killed, because God wants to restore them. He stole my family after 10 years. 10 years I was married to my wife and had 3 beautiful daughters, and I packed my truck up and left everything and walked out the door. Couldn't do it no more. Thought I couldn't do it no more. I left everything, and I was in church every Sunday. Left it all sitting right there in Huntington, Texas. With no answers, no reasoning, I was just done. And the enemy infiltrated my family and infiltrated me and said, Justin, you'll never be worth it. You'll never make it. You'll never overcome. They're better off without you. You're better off without them. And all it took was me crying out to God one time. And he has restored. And me and my wife have been remarried now, fixing to be for 15 years. Our daughters are up and thriving, serving the church. We're both on staff. And I don't need an applause for us, but for Jesus Christ, the fact that the same God that did that for me is the one that's calling you to be a conqueror. He's the same God that snatched me out of my junk. He's the same one who wants to snatch you up. So how about let's be some conquerors? How about we change this community? How about we change our families, huh? How about we change our life and quit walking around defeated and wondering how we're going to get through tomorrow, or how we're going to make it till next week, or how we're going to overcome that, and dig our feet in and say, enemy, I'm tired of you stealing from me. I'm tired of you killing my life and destroying everything. God's made me a promise. And in Psalms 91, it says his faithful promise covers me and equips me. I'm covered, I'm equipped, right? Yeah. Amen. That's what God wants from us. That's what God's promise is for all of us. I'm tired of seeing Christians and believers walk around defeated, because I lived a whole life of defeat, and I refuse it because of who my God is. That's why we talk about this tonight. Because when I got down inside of me that God is love and he is light, and if I in my darkest times, all I had to do was come to him boldly and cling to him, and the crap he's gotten me through, yeah, I said crap. Because that's what it was. That's what it was in my life. And I don't want to go back to it. And I don't have to go back to it. I get to be victorious tomorrow. My dad told me one thing when I was growing up, and I'll never forget this saying. He said, son, they can't eat you. I said, what do you mean they can't eat you? He said, son, they can't eat you. They may strip everything from us. They cannot take me away from my father. So one thing they couldn't take from Job was his relationship with Jesus. He's tried to take it all from me, and God has restored it, and I can tell you, and I can tell you this, God never, ever, ever left my side as wretched as I was. So let's make a decision tonight to say, you know what? All right? You said he was your perspective changer. How about we begin to say, God, how about you change my perspective? Because I'm tired of living in this old junk. I'm tired of dragging this baggage around. Amen? All right. Philippians 4 and 13 says you're capable. It says you're capable. But we don't do this alone, God. We don't do this alone, guys. We don't. Listen, if you're living life alone, quit. Look at the people at your table right now. Look at the people at your table. You ain't got to do this junk alone. That's why we're sitting around round tables, so we can look each other in the face and have relationship. You know how Jesus changed the world in 3 years? He'd go sit by a well to a woman that nobody wanted to have anything to do with and say, hey, you ain't got to do this alone. I'm with you. That's what he told him. He said, just let me walk with you. You know what he told the disciples? He didn't have no big speech for them. He said, hey, come walk with me. Drop your nets. Come on. Just come spend time with me. The people around your table, God has put there for a reason. The table host you have, God's put there for a reason. Do not negate the power of connections with the people, and do not do life alone. Because I can tell you, I don't. I've got a band of warriors around me that I get to call that are my friends. And you know where I met almost every single one of them? Right here in this class. Amy Seaman sat back there, has been one of my dear. She's like a sister to me. 15 years, she's been through the mud with me. 15 years. Liz Henson, raise your hand. Met her in starting point. Now she helps lead this class, and I've seen God transform her forever. Megan Campbell, I met her in Grow Track. Her and her husband, two of the most devout, strong believers and leaders you ever met, and have changed my life. Sonia Bonner, y'all know how I feel about her. She kicks my tail every day because I don't do life alone, because when I did, I got destroyed. Do not leave here doing life alone. You get your table host number. You get the number to the people around your table, and let's walk this together. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Last one, and I promise I'm going to wrap up. It says, with the help of Jesus Christ, you can become victorious in any area of your life in which you are willing to allow Jesus Christ access. That last part, guys, is so vital. You have to be willing to allow Jesus access. He won't take it. It's the one thing God said he wouldn't interfere with is man's free will. He will not take it. But if you're willing to give it to him, if you're willing to give it to him, he'll sure take it and change your life. The question is, and this is what we're about to do. All right, this is what we're going to do at the tables with your table host. If you'll look in the back, there is an appendix in the back of the book, the appendix A or something, I don't know. I think it's the first appendix. Is appendix A? Okay. This is what we want to do. The question is, who are you now and who do you want to become after this encounter? Who are you now and who do you want to become after this encounter? We're going to take about 10 to 12 minutes at the table, and we're going to linger and talk, ask questions with your table host. They're going to lead you, and we're going to take a brief moment to do this.
All right. I love that as we wrap up tonight, as I look across Encounter tonight, I love that God meets us where we are. I love that whether we just met God today for the first time or whether we were born on a pew, God meets us exactly where we are. Amen. When we come with an open heart, ready to receive and ready to meet God, he says, I set you up for this. No matter where you are, God will meet us exactly where we are. I love that when we encounter God, really encounter God, everything changes. Everything changes. We can't remain the same when we have a real encounter with God. And one thing I love about Encounter, this journey, as Pastor Stephen put it, is God will walk us down this road to empower us and equip us to continue down this process, to continue to encounter him, to become the person that God created us to be. Amen. Did you learn anything tonight? Amen. You guys give Justin a round of applause for doing a great job. Amen. One thing that you want to know about Encounter is it starts right here, and then it takes a nosedive, and it gets deep. Amen. For some of you are like, oh, my gosh, I learned this when I was this big. I didn't, because I wasn't raised in the church. I didn't come to know God until I was older. But put your seatbelts on. It's going to get deep. Each week, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and you will receive exactly what God wants you to receive if you come with an open heart. Amen. You guys looking forward to next week? Amen. Amen. You guys give your table hosts a round of applause. They've done a great job. They've been praying and fasting for you guys. We have a great team. Let's pray the night out and continue to seek God this week until we meet again. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we thank you that your word has gone forth tonight. Thank you for using Justin to meet us exactly where we needed to meet you, Father. Continue to let your truth penetrate our hearts as we revisit the study throughout the week. God, we want to encounter you every day in a deeper way. Lord, we just pray over the students. We pray over the team. God, we pray favor and blessings over them. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You all have a good evening. You're dismissed.